And now it's time for Letters from Listeners. It's the P1's opportunity to ask the Musers. Right here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket.
Thank you, Jared. Thank you, P1's, for all the feedback in the last week.
So much feedback.
Yesterday I mentioned that I had started Lonesome Dove, and I'm 67 after yesterday, 80, 90 pages in.
Yeah.
And that it's been a very slow read so far. It is starting to pick up a little bit, but the first 100 pages or so, I was told, were going to be slow anyway.
Ow.
So I got this from P1 Terry. He said, "Good day to you, Mr. Miller. I love your show. Hi to George and Gordon."
Oh, hey.
What's up?
I started reading Lonesome Dove 1 week ago because of your recommendation. I am 500 pages over halfway into it, and I find the book fascinating. This is my first crack at Larry McMurtry, and it's all you guys said it would be. Please allow me to disagree gently with your comment made on today's show that you might like the book better if it started on page 101. While I agree to some extent that it is a slow read initially, perhaps this may help. I've come to value who the characters in the story are as I continue to read the book. I often find myself going back to reread the character detail from early chapters. My suggestion is to not be in a hurry to get to the good stuff. Rest assured, it's coming like gangbusters, and it is triumphant, heartbreaking, inspiring, happy, sad, gripping. Take joy in the journey.
That is an excellent lesson.
Yes, and he says, thanks for encouraging the P1s to read. You are an example to all of us.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Next stop, the Game of Thrones series. So far, 5 books and only 5,000 pages.
Wow.
I do completely agree with him, and I was kind of half joking about the first 100 pages being pretty slow. I completely agree with the notion that in everything we do, unless you're trying to run from a bear attack, don't be in a hurry.
Yeah. Take your time.
Yes. Or if you're being attacked by a bear, break out Lonesome Dove.
Maybe a pizza.
Yeah. Share your thoughts with the bear.
That's right. Just slow
Augustus.
Down a little bit.
All right, from P1 Nick, we talked a lot about Luca and how he handles the officials, and we're going to get into that here in about 10 minutes. He says, "I reject the assertion that Luca is mistreated by the refs. When he's aggressive on his drives, he gets a lot of and ones that he initiates by jumping into defenders. He also gets positive treatment on a lot of his defensive challenges to shots. He gets most of his fouls when he is slow laterally defending. He is not picked on, especially given how he treats the officials."
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty accurate observation.
I do, too. And I got reaction yesterday saying that if he has a reputation and therefore he gets technicals or gets, you know, doesn't get the benefit of the whistle, I meant that within the context of a game. Not like they're going into a game thinking, oh, I'm ready for Luka.
Mm-hmm.
I think he establishes that by the game, don't you? I don't think refs necessarily go into a game going, okay, I'm ready for Luka tonight.
Oh, I think they think about it. They have to. I mean, he gives them such hell.
I mean, I guess there can be some carryover. I was more talking about each night he kind of creates his own worst nightmare.
All right, we'll have more on Luka here in just a minute on last night's game and how he behaved. This is from P1 Dave. I thought he brought up a great point. He says, "What's so great about the Cowboys draft board? The standard response I've heard this weekend to any critiques of Dallas taking X player at any point in the draft is, well, the Cowboys had him higher on their draft board, and that's supposed to end all further discussion?"
Maybe they shouldn't have.
"I'm sorry, but I've seen the results of the Cowboys drafts. So telling me they had so-and-so rated higher on their draft board than another player only reminds me that they felt the same way about Jalen Smith, Connor Williams, Taco Charlton, Cheeto Awuzie, Tristan Hill, and a bunch of other high draft picks who were high on their draft board."
Yeah.
I think
fair point there on some of those guys.
It's a fair point, and can't you ask that about just about any team unless it's a team that has this incredible track record?
Yeah, I think that's most teams. I really do. It's like the Goose said yesterday, most teams get a C every year.
Mm-hmm.
They just kind of do okay. You're going to have your hits and misses.
Jerry, you might have a little fanfare ready here because P1 Mark writes, I'm a little late in asking this question, but better late than never. Who is the Hot Fried Georgie draft pick of the draft?
Whoa! Whoa! Oh, my God! Oh, my God!
Are you kidding me?
Well,
I can't believe, George, you have nothing to do with this. You have nothing to do with this. I am proud to announce that the Hot Fried Georgie pick of the draft for the Cowboys is none other than that now famous Cowboys linebacker, Mr. Micah Parsons.
Whoa-ho!
Congratulations, Micah. The first pick for the Cowboys, he was the number one defensive player on their board. And they got him. So way to go, Cowboys.
Right.
This is from P1 Richard, our Canadian P1, after our discussion yesterday in Musical Musers about the album and whether people buy vinyl anymore, what digital has done to not only the physical form of the album, but to artists creating an album. Do you even sit down and think about organizing songs a certain way if you're an artist anymore? Well, he says, I still buy albums and CDs. I'm a believer that music is meant to be consumed as a whole, never bought digital. In my mind, it's an incomplete experience if you don't try to understand why a particular song precedes another. Do you remember Led Zeppelin 3 vinyl? As a child, I spent hours looking at that cover and playing with the cardboard wheel. And what about I prefer side one over side two? We don't have that discussion anymore.
Mm-mm.
He says it's about physical intimacy, and I think those are great points.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's going to stop the digital tide in any way, but I do understand what he's saying.
A couple of people said yesterday, too, okay, if you just release one song a year or every 2 years, what are you going to do for concerts? Play four songs, say, okay, those are our hits. See ya.
Well, no, you release songs throughout the year. You don't release one song a year.
Okay.
And you always play your old stuff at a concert, too, your hits. P1 Steven, I enjoyed the 40-yard dash segment. Got me thinking that was mine. Got me thinking that you guys always joke about, can anyone in golf shoot their age? 40-yard dash talk got me wondering if anybody can run their age.
Yeah, I was thinking that too when you were talking about it. I was going to make a joke about running your age, and I thought, well, it doesn't work as well.
Can a 46-year-old run a 4.6?
So Michael Vick is 40 and ran a 4.7, so when he's 47... he won't still be able to run a 4.7.
I don't think so.
When you're 23, you're not going to run a 2.3.
Right? And a 100-year-old can't run a 10 in the 40. Right?
No.
So I don't think you're ever...
There's only a small... Where is the window? There's got to be one window,
so,
right?
Yeah. Jerry Rice, I think, was somewhere in that window. I think he's 58 and ran a 6 flat.
Okay.
Yeah.
Somewhere in that range is where it's doable, I think. Somewhere around 60.
Yeah, like Rocket Ishmael, when he's 55, he's got a chance to run a 5.5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, and then finally, this is from P1 Mason. Junior, I hope this email finds you well, because after my two recent encounters, I'm not doing well.
Mm-mm.
The first interaction was the worst of the two. I had a customer at my place of work, and I didn't recognize them. A lot of times when someone is wearing sports apparel from another team, I give them a hard time and tell them, I guess I'll have to kick you out. They give me a confused look, and I say, because you're wearing a Yankees cap. Pretty generic customer-employee interaction, and it gets a laugh out of most of them. It's a good icebreaker. Today, I told a man in a different NFL team mask the whole bit, and instead of the usual jovial exchange, he kind of sighed and said, my mom made this for me. I'm on my way to bury her right now.
All right.
Okay.
My heart dropped. I profusely apologized and said I didn't mean to upset him.
So sorry.
You know, you got to be careful with that, I think, if you're running a business. I don't think you should comment on what they're buying or what they're wearing.
Now you don't know where you're going to trip up.
Right.
I apologized over and over. He made some deep remarks about soaking up the fragility of life.
And I tuned him out.
And I'm standing there with failed smile.
Oh, man.
The next one isn't so much my fault, but the fact that I was still recovering from my previous bear trap didn't help.
Yeah, he had a weakened bear trap immune system.
Not 20 minutes later, I run into an old regular I hadn't seen in a while, sweet little lady, catching up with her and asking her how she's doing. When she drops the bomb on me, "Oh, I'm okay. I was diagnosed with a terminal disease."
Oh, really? Oh, that's good.
Okay.
I felt it's good weather. Well.
I felt like I'd been punched in the stomach. Again, I'm profusely apologizing, and she said, "It's okay, I don't want to burden you," which made me feel even worse.
No, no, it's not burdening me. The burden's all yours, ma'am, believe me.
He says, "These two experiences should be a lesson for everyone. Don't be friendly to anyone ever. Keep your head down and don't talk to anybody."
That's exactly right.
Hang in there, Mason. And those are letters from listeners.
Yay! Yay!